You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dutchie, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the word blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, everybody. You are listening to the Common Sense Show, and I'm your host, Dave Hodges. And we come to you live at this time, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, and we're here every Sunday evening, and we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Well, good shout out to my friend Doug Hagman for that very interesting first hour, and it was going to be no different here, and we'll be joining John B. Wells in just a moment. Don't forget, in the third hour, we have a first-time guest, Darren Dammy from KTIR Radio in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's one of us in the mainstream. Be pretty interesting. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. And, you know, really, I said in the first hour, King Prepper. This is what Bob Griswold is, and you're all familiar with Bob because I like to interview him on critical issues. And he has everything prepper-wise that you'd want, from water filtration to night vision. And he likes to say, if the bad guy has night vision and you don't, you got a problem. Well, we know that night vision is a little on the pricey side. Water filtration is manageable. Communications is very, very cheap. And he also helps people get shortwave certified. I mean, all very, very cost effective. But night vision is dicey. But it is needed if you're in a grid down, you know, Mad Max scenario. But here's the good news. Bob now has financing. That's right. You can finance the bigger purchases now at Ready Made Resources. How do you do that? Well, give Bob a call. He'll be there after the show to speak to you, and he'll be there in the morning as well. The number to call is 1-800-627-3809. That's 1-800-627-3809. And just wanted to also mention, too, we're brought to you by Numana Foods. And that discussion I just had with Doug Hagman, I mean, storable food needs to be part of everybody's repertoire. Do what you can and get the peace of mind that comes with knowing you've prepped your family. Go to numana.com/Hodges. Take 5% off with the promo code Hodges, N-O-V-5. Wow. We're living in perilous times. And in this hour, we're joined by an old friend of mine, a man who I used to listen to fervently on Saturday nights on Coast to Coast, and he was the best part of that show, and I don't care who gets mad at me for saying it, because it's the darn truth, and he had the numbers to prove it, and he's taken that success into his new venture, Caravan to Midnight. It's a very inexpensive subscription service with quality radio. I think some of the very best guests out there are on John B. Wells' show, and he has one of the most recognizable voices in America. You remember Unsealed Alien Files, and he's done voiceovers for so many major shows, just too many to mention here. So without further ado, let's welcome John B. Wells to the Common Sense Show. John, welcome back. I'm glad you're here.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on again. I've been missing you, brother. It's been a long time since we had a little chat.
Oh, my gosh, I know. We just get so tied up in all the things we're doing. And I find that, too. I just haven't connected real well in the last year or so with people I respect and like and admire. It's just we're so busy fighting the fight. I mean, I'm overwhelmed in trying to get a reasonable amount of material cover. How do you feel along those lines?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, just the time part. They will say that it has been said for, I don't know, millennia, since time immemorial, that, you know, when you get older, time seems to go by quicker. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. We are, a dangerous time, but it's also a very exciting time. And I just have reason to believe that this chatter that's going around, more now than in other days, for sure, about time speeding up, I think it really is. Because, we're looking at August now. Wait a minute, wasn't it just June? Then what happened to July? It's almost like, what happened to stages 1, 2, and 3? You know what I mean? We're already to 4. So, and we're being bombarded with all of this information from all these different spheres of influence. And this is, I don't think this just happened organically. I think a good bit of it is deliberate. And I think it is, it's being done to just keep people walking on the sides of their heads as much of the time as possible. While these agendas, which have clearly been interrupted by the advent of a Donald Trump presidency, they're having to move their timetable forward a little bit. They need to get this done, because otherwise it's not. I think there are too many people waking up now. They really are. They were slow at first. They really were. They resisted it. They didn't want to believe what has happened. But and I've had to go back to that thing that I was talking about back in the Coast days. Everybody wanted on December 21st, 2012, they wanted that Mayan calendar to end, and when it ended, even if they didn't really put much stock in it, they thought there was, maybe it's real, maybe there's something to this, maybe there's going to be this big shift, maybe there will be a great awakening, maybe the world will end, which for a lot of people that would have been fine, because they just kind of needed some relief, and they felt like the rest of the planet did too. But you know what, that really did happen. I mean, all of these stories we were told, everything from World Wars One and Two to Korea, to the 9/11 thing, to the Sandy Hook thing, to the vaccine thing, all of this stuff, all these official stories have now been revealed to be complete propaganda. And it's spreading. It's amazing. It happened as recently as today. A guy that he's a pilot, and he's a corporate pilot, and a steady guy, and he's not somebody that you would think would entertain anything like a conspiracy theory. Again, we must remind everybody that term conspiracy theory was popularized, not invented by, but popularized by the CIA to ridicule people who questioned the Warren report. Well. Oh, yeah, John Kennedy. You know, just recently, Bill O'Reilly, I saw a clip just before he left, and he was speaking with somebody, I suppose, about killing Kennedy, and I heard him say, well, Oswald did it. No, Oswald did it, right? And he's, like, ramming this down this person's throat that he was talking to, and it's like, well, I'm sorry, Bill, Oswald didn't do it. And everybody pretty much knows it now who's looked into it. We know exactly who did it. We don't know the names necessarily, not all of them, but we know some of them. And one of them is Lyndon Baines Johnson, and another one is Mack Wallace. And those guys down in New Orleans, you know, David Ferry and Clay Shaw and Judith Vary Baker, who was working with Mary Sherman. How many people knew that there was a linear particle accelerator down there at the university where she was working with Mary Sherman in like 1960, 61, maybe before that? When we were kids, we would see a cartoon that said Atom Smasher, and we didn't know what it was, and then they'd position over somebody's Adam's apple, and none of the kids looked any further, an Atom Smasher. No, it was a linear particle accelerator, and they were working on weaponizing the cancer vaccine. And then when you go to one of these Kennedy conferences, like the one last year, in Dallas, who does that guy look like who was in Chicago and was working with Mary Sherman on this virus, weaponizing this cancer virus? Cancer virus. Emphasis on virus. Hold on to that, folks. Because what causes cancer? Oh, I don't know. It's a real mystery. Well, does a virus cause it? Well, we don't know. Yeah, they do. They always knew. They've known for decades. They've known for, 50 years? More than that, maybe? Well, who's the guy? Who is that guy? He's in Chicago. He's working with Mary. Joseph Mengele. That's who. Adolf Hitler didn't die in a bunker. Martin Bormann wasn't killed during a tank battle outside of Berlin. Those guys all made it to Argentina. We were just talking with Carter Heydrich about U-234, the U-boats. U-234. Guess what it was carrying? It was carrying U-235, and it was delivered to Portsmouth to the Allies, and it became part of the Manhattan Project. You know, everybody says, oh, it's the bankers, it's big business. Well, it is the bankers and big business. These guys have been business as usual for them, no matter what. Lusitania was carrying munitions. German shipping companies were attempting to place ads in American newspapers and magazines. Please do not book passage on these ships taking these routes. Don't. And the American publications wouldn't run them. But who talks about how Germany just rained leaflets down on England saying, listen, we do not want to have a war with you. Nobody talks about that. How many people talk about the fact that nobody, Adolf Hitler and none of the so-called Nazis, they didn't like the term Nazi. They never called themselves Nazis. They were the National Socialist Workers Party. Nazi is taken from Ignatius, which was a common name, and what it means is a Bavarian Bubba. A country bumpkin. That's a Nazi. Well, how many people know this? It's because it's all been spun. We screwed up and we trusted the mainstream media and we wound up with people like Cronkite. Oh, don't speak ill of the dead. Why not? He was a hardcore Fabian socialist. And this United States of America, we've got a United States, and we've got a United States of America, and some of it ends with INC. And it hasn't been a constitutional republic for a long time. And people say, I don't believe it, I don't want to believe it. Well, when you look into it, you'll find that that's true. We have done precisely what the founding fathers told us not to do. And that is trust the government. That's what we did. And then the mainstream media became an arm of the government. When you have Roger Ailes telling Robert Kennedy Jr., I can't do it. Look, I agree with you. There's a problem with these vaccines. I can't talk about this stuff. And I'd have to fire any reporter who did talk about this stuff because I will lose 70% of my advertising dollars from the pharmaceutical companies if I run such a story. I can't do this. And so the story doesn't get run. And child after child after child, 49 doses of 14 different types by the time they're 6 months old. It's insane. This quest for money and this monetary system, I'm not saying that I've got one that's better. I'm no John Nash, thank goodness. But it's driven everything. And so we go, well, gee, are we surprised by this? No, not if you read your Bible. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, there you go. It's been written, and it has been written and has remained in print for a couple thousand years now. So why not take a look at it? And that appears to be precisely what it is. It's all about money. We have reporters who are pulling their hair out. They can barely look at themselves in the morning, but they need a job. They need a job, and they're prepared to do what they're told, and they do. And the unwitting public soaks it all up and takes what they write and put on television as truth, and they wind up confused. They don't know what they're talking about, and then you confront them with some facts that are diametrically opposed to what they understand, and what happens? They get agitated. They get mad. Oh, now they're getting violent. In the meantime, everybody who was ridiculed, oh, they've ridiculed Joe McCarthy for going after the commies, but the fact is that the commies, the collectivists, the Marxists, they're alive and well. And it's a resurgent collectivism now. They call themselves liberals, but they're anything but liberal. They're not classical liberals at all. Classical liberals wanted small government. They definitely did not want an oppressive police force. Definitely wanted privacy rights. Definitely wanted accountability in government, particularly where the money was concerned, and no one declared wars, period. End of story. Well, who are the liberals now? the liberals are more like the conservatives, and the conservatives are more like the old liberals, except for one problem. You have people like McCain in there, and many others.
Yeah,
who might
just,
as well be hardcore, card-carrying Democrats, but they're Republicans now, and so you have a one-party system. And it's downhill from there.
Well, I agree. It's the deep state corporate party, and I totally agree with you on that. We talked in the last hour. I wanted to get your opinion on this. Is Robert Mueller, in your opinion, going to be successful in taking Trump down through impeachment, or are the globalists going to have to take this to another level?
I don't think Mueller's going to make it. I really don't. I don't think he's going to. I don't think there's anything there. I think that they'll try to spin it into something, but this is nothing more than a witch hunt. Collusion with the Russians, really. And I suppose that when Vlad Putin and Donald Trump are looking at each other like a couple of actual men, I spell M-E-N, looking at each other with respect and an understanding that these are two serious cats talking. Those are two very, very serious cats. Contrast that with the look on Vlad Putin's face every time he talked to Obama. I've said this many times. He had this look on his face like, I would like to put my thumbs into his windpipe and then into his eye sockets. Maybe eye sockets first and then windpipe. I would like to beat him to death with my Super Bowl ring that I got from that guy. Then they make a deal about lowering the level of tension there in the airspace over Syria. And then the Senate compels Mr. Trump to sign sanctions against Russia. Oh, that was a real genius move. So does that make us think that... And now Merkel's mad about it. Of course, who cares what she gets mad about? She's a little commie herself, a little communist youth director from the old days in East Germany. But you don't hear much about that. But still...
Well, I'll tell you what I hear something about, John. Do you think that Merkel... Now, I know I'm stepping out here on this. You think she's Hitler's daughter?
I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, only, and I say I doubt it only because I haven't followed that trail at all. I can't help but think that something about this might have leaked out beforehand. But, you know, it is an interesting proposition. Now that you mention it, she does look a little bit like it. But, you know, what's funny is that Chelsea Clinton looks just like Webster Hubble. However, there is a relative in the actual Clinton family who looks just like Webster Hubble also. I think it was a grandmother. So, I don't know. A simple DNA test might... Oh, that's right. We can't get any of Hitler's DNA. So, it's possible, I suppose. These same families seem to... And relatives of the high-level operators, shall we say, they seem to just hang around forever. So I suppose it's possible, but I haven't really seriously considered it. Now that you've mentioned it, I'll look into it, but I hadn't before ever.
I have cousins in Germany, and it's where my father's from. And they told me that is a really popular theory in certain circles. They can't speak out about it publicly because, you know, now if you criticize the government, criticize Muslims, you go to prison in Germany.
It doesn't surprise me.
No freedom of speech there at all.
You know, I don't understand any of this. And yet, on the other hand, I do, because there is no possible explanation for the amount of not just confusion. The confusion is over the reality of what's happening. The people who are doing these things don't seem to be confused at all. But there seems to be some serious supernatural power at work here for this handful of people to be able to create so much chaos and throw their own citizens into the fire. commit barbarous acts. That just means they commit acts that we're not accustomed to seeing because they're savage is the word. This, you can't say that all Muslims are savages. Well, no, but I can say that all Muslims belong to a religion that allows a savagery. So, to me, it's the same thing. The potential for the savagery is there. Oh, well, that's racist. And I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll catch a little blowback for it, but I'm wondering if it may not be time for some good old-fashioned racism, because racism means only one thing, and that is you want to protect your people, your culture, your language, and your country, your nation. That's all it means. Nowhere is it stated in any of the definitions of with any credibility that I've ever read that suggests that racism is feeling that one's race is superior to others. Now, that is an entirely different matter. But racism itself simply means you want to protect your own, of which you are a part. And there are racialists. Racialists are people who use issues of race to promote their own agenda, whatever it is. But there is nothing wrong, and I stated this on Caravan to Midnight the other day, what is wrong with saying, listen, we like our people. We are us. You have every right to exist, but we don't want to hang out with you. We do not like your religion is completely incompatible with ours. We don't care for your manner of dress or your customs or your rituals or any of that, and we're not going to allow you to come into our country and force us by sheer weight of your numbers to change our society into one that looks like yours. We're going to protect our society, and we have every right to do this. See, the biggest problem here, David, in my opinion, I mean, look, and I've said this before, too. There but for the grace of God himself, praise him in the name of the Lord Jesus, goes John B. Wells, the black guy who is the angriest black guy out there. But if there was a shred of the personality that I have now, I would look around and think to myself, because there are many successful black people. They have looked at what programs work and what programs do not work, and they have decided that what they need to do, I mean, in the broad strokes is, well, I think maybe I ought to get with the white guy's program because it appears to be making prosperity for the white people. Maybe I should try it, because what we're doing here in these, what do you call it? I mean, ain't nothing happening in the ghetto except poverty, right? Anywhere in the world where you find large concentrations of black people, you have problems. Why is that? And they are the same problems all over. And then they will vilify a scientist like James Watson, who merely said what is true. There is no universal law that states people who developed great distances from each other all evolved at the same rate. It's just stupid to assume such a thing. He said, if you continue to attempt to apply European problems or European solutions to African problems, you're never going to get anywhere with it because they're not like you. They don't think like you do. They're different. But what this bunch now wants to do is make everybody equal. Well, everybody's not equal. Some people run faster and jump higher than others. Some add and subtract and do all sorts of quantum things in the realm of mathematics that others can't do. So the solution is to drag everybody down to the same level. Now, how do you do that? Destroy the education system, which they've done a pretty good job of in this country. Do you know we are dead last in math? What possible excuse can there be for this? Well, take a trip to the public school, the public high school sometimes, see what you get. Now, there are exceptions, but by and large, the school systems in this country are not educating anybody. They're doing what typically was reserved for a university, which is not teaching academics at all, but teaching attitudes. And we have become weak. This crop of kids, the last couple of generations, have been told from the beginning, you're special, you're unique. But they didn't bother to say, just like everybody else, who is special and unique. Everybody is. Everybody thinks their dog is the best dog. Everybody thinks their kid is the brightest kid. But when you can't, when you're liable to wind up with a hostage rescue team and snipers and machine guns because you put a switch across your kid's butt and said, now don't do that anymore, damn it. And the kid goes, I'm sorry. He's okay, okay. You, and tell them how great they are and go, good. Now don't do that anymore. Just don't do that. But no, what you do now is you send them to time out up to their room where their toys are. I mean, what kind of a moron thinks this is any kind of punishment?
Well, they send them to their safe room.
And I say we, I include myself in this, although I've always been the weird guy that stood out and sort of observed what was going on and kind of stayed out of it. But all that stuff through the 90s. First, she's a woman of the 90s. She can do everything. She can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man. Well, there's not enough time to be a corporate executive and raise a child. There's not enough time for that. But we can't be.
John, I gotta speak to that last one. You're absolutely right. And I'm going to draw the ire of some people, but my wife came to that realization about a year after my son was born, and we had a live-in nanny, and she said, to hell with that. She was running a corporate McDonald's for Arizona, number one person, CEO in charge, and she walked away from six-figure salary to be a mom because she said, I can't do both well, and I want to be a mom more than I want to do that. You're absolutely right. Now, you know what? Here come the bombs. You know that's coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is sometimes the truth is, it can be demeaning. It can be interpreted as demeaning to some people. Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong or that they've been duped or anything else. It's an insult. But the fact is, there are only 24 hours in a day. So, who's going to raise the child? Oh, daycare. Okay, daycare. Then when they get older, then what? Well, then the schools. And then before long, because people have abdicated their responsibilities, they've made women feel that first of all, they need to dress like strippers to be attractive to the young men, right? They do that, and then they have to be made to feel that, you know, you're just being a slave by making a home and cooking and taking care of a child. I mean, do you just want to be pregnant and barefoot all the time? What's the deal? Now, what will happen many times is that, because as we know, there are many, many women who are brilliant. But what they generally do is they'll raise their children first in the correct way so that the child is practically an adult despite the tender number of years on the planet. And then when the child is functioning and has a grasp of what is required, what responsibility is, what duty is, then they'll shift into their own production. I've observed this for many years. A woman will work for somebody else if she has children, and maybe she needs to work. Maybe she doesn't have the husband, and she has to do this. And she'll do an exemplary job in her line of work. And then, when the child is able to run on his or her own power, that woman will then shift into her own business and become basically an entrepreneur and go forward with that. Or,
yeah,
you know, maybe stay with a corporation. You know, and
what I have seen in this is that there are a lot of jobs, most jobs, women can do and then be a mom too. I mean, I see that. Now, also, there's, as you say, the interrupted career pattern where they go back to work. I've seen that a lot too. In my wife's case, she was working 65, 70 hours a week. Well, I was a college basketball coach at the time, so my hours were pretty crazy too. So we managed it between each other. But when you introduce the kids wouldn't do well in that environment, and I very well could have been the one to stay home too. I'm not opposed to that. But I will tell you, John, that the way we have structured our society right now, we are devaluing motherhood. I think that's what we're both saying here, not devaluing women, but we're devaluing motherhood.
Well, I think we're devaluing women as well. I mean, I agree with you. It's, you know, the level of promiscuity in the society now and the abandonment of any kind of morality at all. I mean, it's widespread. I mean, it's something like 40% of all the babies are born out of wedlock now, maybe more. And, you know, the husbands run off, they get bored, they don't commit to the attractive to her, but then the child comes along, and then, you know, they're stuck and all this, and then a lot of them just bail. A lot of them just bail out. And if they don't bail out, then they're abusive because, you know, they want to go out there and freelance, you know, maybe set up another franchise because they can, and because society will no longer look down on them. When I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, if somebody was divorced, she was a strumpet, and he was what they called a whorehopper. If you abandoned your, if you committed adultery and got found out, you might as well leave town, because it's not going to be the same for you anymore. When I was a kid, the cops showed up at your house, you were disgraced permanently. Unless there was an incident, somebody tried to break in or something, but they came because you did something at your house that resulted in the cops being called. You were just regarded as just trash. Well, that's discriminatory. You know, discriminating used to be a good quality in a person. Now it means you're a racist or a bigot. It's just, it's incredible. And by the way, speaking of bigot, my research has shown that bigot is short for by God. And it is, now if you look it up in the dictionary, now it says a person who holds unreasonable prejudices against a group based on appearance, religion, or their culture. But what it originally meant was someone who puts themselves on the high moral spiritual ground and looks down on others, but who in fact is a hypocrite. That's an actual bigot. But those meanings have all morphed into other things now, which is even worse than what happened in Orwell's 1984, when Winston is busy removing words from the dictionary, so that before long, Winston, there won't be the words which exist that anybody can use to insult each other. Well, now it's even more stupid than that. Now, the words do not mean what they used to mean. They mean something else. And not everybody is hip to the new definition. And so, what could cause something like this? I mean, what could cause journalists to use every kind of expletive they want about a president, whether they're tweeting or whether it's Anderson Cooper saying that, well, Trump could get on your desk and make a dump and you'd defend it. I mean, who could have imagined that somebody could say something like that even over a cable channel, let alone the old broadcast network channels? But they do, and they lie, and they know that they lie. And you got Van Jones saying, you know, that Russian thing, it's a nothing burger. Well, that's right, man. It's a nothing burger. It's an absolute nothing burger. There's nothing there. But they're going to keep pushing that out. Still, this is actually not anything new. Thomas Jefferson complains about newspapers. Just type that into the browser and see what you get. He was basically saying, if you want to read a load of Bravo Sierra, just pick up a newspaper and you'll read it in the newspaper. So, I mean, newspaper people and media people in general, we'll have to say media now because it used to be just newspaper. They didn't have any radio back in his day. But they've always been vilified because they've always done the same thing. They've always been an arm of the powers that were at the time. I don't know why we all forgot this. And even if we didn't forget it, we certainly don't act as if we haven't forgot it. And, oh, we're all for Trump. His approval ratings are high. And then Rasmussen comes out with another poll. And, oh, now he's down to 38%. And be sure to add the part about lower than Obama's was at any point in his presidency. Obama, yeah. The worst thing that ever happened to this country. In my opinion, a complete fraud. Don't even know who this guy really is. His wife, oh really? Some people just couldn't get past the color of my skin. The color of your skin, I didn't get past the bulge slightly below waist level in your dress. I never got to the color of your skin. I was having trouble with the size of your shoulders. I was having trouble with the gay rainbow colors on the White House. Stuff like that. And by the way, David, since when did homosexuality become such a big deal that we now need to alter the entire society to accommodate it? And now, gay wasn't enough. Now we've gone all the way to the transgenders. People who do not accept what they are, but demand that we accept what they are not. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
I couldn't agree with you more in what you're saying here, because there's a matter of saying, okay, we're tolerant. You have the right to exist. You have the right to be who you are. You have the right to live in a place. You have the right to hold a job. No one's disputing that, but you don't have the right to ram your lifestyle down our throats, and that's what I see too much of. And I'm not putting all people down who have a different persuasion than I do, John, because they're not all guilty of this. But the movements are guilty of this. I don't go out and proclaim at the top of a mountain, hey, I'm a heterosexual, look at my kid. It's irrelevant. We don't need to be dealing with this. But what we're also seeing, too, and I want to speak to this very clearly, when you get into the transgender and you're firing professors and you're eliminating Facebook accounts and YouTube accounts for people that say there's one man, there's one woman, forget the 97 gender nonsense crap. When you have this going on, Amitai Etzioni, the father of modern sociology, said something very clearly. He said, the family can exist without the state, but the state can't exist without the family. And what we're seeing along these lines is a deliberate destruction of our culture. Deliberate. It's intentional. And it comes from Satan.
Well, I appreciate that you have said that, because I believe that you are entirely correct. And let me just state to the record that, you know, I'm aware that I've got this big voice and so forth, and it alarms people when I raise it, so I try not to do it. And it would suggest to some people that this is some holier-than-thou guy who just thinks he's got this. But let me tell you what, I have banged my feet against many stones. And I've said this before. Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, said that he was a chieftain among sinners. Well, I don't think I was a chieftain, but I'm pretty sure I was a captain or a colonel or a major or something. But I like to say, when I was an idiot, just taking from the Bible, I did idiotic things. But when I got a slap up the back of my head hard enough to get my attention, and I realized I was doing idiotic things, I quit doing it. And I would counsel others who I saw going that direction to that, listen, I've traveled this road. Nothing good will come from this. Nothing. And you will not be the one to beat the drugs that you are trying to get into. Everybody thinks they're going to be the one that beats it. You will not beat it. They did not beat it. They don't call it dope for nothing. It will get its hooks into you, and hell will have to be paid before you get those hooks out. The best thing to do is go with martial arts master rule number one. Avoid. Just avoid it. But oh no. Now, we're going to turn this whole town into a pot paradise. Well, you got a bunch of half-educated, half-rock-dumb morons as it is, so absolutely, give them some dope. That'll help things. Sure it will. Look, folks, and David, just stop me wherever, because I know you reach a wide audience, and we got Doc David Janda has joined a Caravan to Midnight. He does a show on Tuesday, and on Thursday, he does his radio show on Sunday, Operation Freedom, up there at WAAM out of Ann Arbor. He's been doing it for years. And I do Arc Midnight on Saturday nights out of Cliff in Dallas, and it's getting streamed all over the world, and we picked up several stations in Chicago and Knoxville and Albuquerque and a bunch of them, and it's spreading through syndication. It'll take a while, but it'll get out there. But here's the thing. It's all about, well, what audience do you have? Are they center-right? Are they right smack dab in the center? Are they middle of the road? Well, don't be middle of the road, folks, because if you're in the middle of the road, you'll get run over. Pick a lane. And it says in Scripture, be hot or be cold, but if you're neither, I'll just spit you out of my mouth. You know, here's the thing. This is planet Earth. Planet Earth is ruled by, you can call him whatever you want. You can call him Hootie Too if you want. You don't have to call him Satan. You don't have to call him the devil. You don't have to visualize him as a guy in a red union suit with a tail and a pitchfork and all of that. And, that Van Dyke and that Fu Manchu thing going. That's not what he is. That's not what he looks like. Everything that's wrong, everything that is bad, everything that is evil, everything that murders and lies and cheats and steals and covets and takes and ruins and destroys, that's evil. That is Satan, okay? So we call him Satan. We know what we're talking about. He runs this planet. He could not take the Lord Jesus Christ up onto a hill and go, hey, Jay, see all of this? All you got to do is says, worship me, and it's all yours. Well, if he didn't run the world, how could he possibly offer a deal like that? It's because he does rule the world. I'll let you have dominion over all of this. Because he knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was God incarnate in this man, Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua, I've heard a dozen different ways. Everybody knows him as Jesus. It's a Yeshua, okay? That's what my dad told me it was in a dream. When I asked him in a dream after he had died, what is Jesus' real name? I'm pretty sure it's not Jesus. And he said, Yeshua. I went, okay. And about 6 weeks later on Coast to Coast, as a matter of fact, I heard a man speak that name, and I'd never heard it before in my life. So this was an actual visitation. If that sounds like woo-woo, well, so be it, but it happened. I could tell you some other stuff, too, that's incredibly paranormal, but not maybe another time, because it sounds insane, but it's not. It's absolutely probably had witnesses.
No, I want to do a show with you. I want to do a show with you sometime on this.
It's very amazing, but folks need to understand there's a power that wants to destroy you, and you need to understand something. It doesn't matter if you look like Barbie or Ken. It doesn't matter if you look like Jabba the Hutt and Rosie O'Donnell. It doesn't matter. You're made in the image of God, and Satan hates you. He hates you. This entity is so megalomaniacal. He not only wants to kill God, he thinks he can do it. You better watch out, because this life is far more serious than anything you can possibly imagine, and you are being told that you're just this protoplasmic blob, and we know what's best for you, and yet the people who are given the orders, I mean, how many rumors do you need of adultery, pedophilia, murder, mayhem, corruption, starting wars, theft, everything in the world? But you, citizen, shut up. Go to school, do what you're told, get a job, pay your taxes. And did we mention, shut up? I mean, yeah, that sounds like the land of the free and the home of the brave to me. No, it's not. It's been hijacked because we abandoned God. We don't need God anymore. Oh, yeah, you're in a spot. Oh, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Oh, problem's gone. Don't need Jesus Christ anymore. Forget about it. Right? Wrong. You are on the verge of losing yourself. This is what I mean, and I'll be brief, David. You will be separated from your Creator for eternity, which is a place where time does not exist. Think of the drug that has been developed in England. If they inject you with this drug, you will feel as though you have been in prison for 1,000 years. This actually exists. This drug exists. Now, if there is no time, say, oh, eternity is a long time. Yeah, there is no time in eternity. You don't want to fall. You don't want to die in a fallen state. And there's one way not to be. It doesn't matter if this bunch over here worship this one and this one over there worships that one. Anybody who does not know about Christ is off the hook. But once you know, and once you've been told, and you don't follow it up, it's on you. It's on you. And it makes no difference to me what you do. I can't control what you do. But I'm asking you to look into it. And I'm telling you, based on my own experience, this is real. This is not a joke. This is not some fable. It's not mind control. It is truth. Don't be one of these people who knows nothing because you understood everything too soon.
That's a good phrase. I like that. You know nothing because you understood everything too soon. You're right. That's where I think wisdom emanates out of that crossroads. And then people have the discernment to make the right choices.
You know, David, whenever we have one of these conversations, I start off kind of easy. I wind up getting a little bit jacked up, and it's because, meaning my wheels are spinning there. The jack lifted my tires off the ground. They're spinning. But here's the thing. Look around, folks. They're developing. We were talking with DJ Wells last night on the ARC Midnight, the terrestrial radio adjunct to Caravan to Midnight, about these new computing techniques. AI. Remember, everything that we think we know about technology, which is current, we are 30 to 40 years behind what really exists. They're actually using DNA will happen? What will be the effect of this? Well, God's creation will now be a mockery of God. The spirituality part will be absent. Memories can be put in your head. Memories can be removed from your head. Oh, designer baby, nothing is natural anymore. Everything is manipulated by another human. We need more immigrants to come in because they'll do jobs that Americans won't do. Here's a wild swing, but you'll get it. Really? Yeah. Yeah, we need them. We need them to come in, legal or otherwise. We need these people. And yet, out of the other side of their mouth comes, people are concerned that robots are going to take they're going to take their jobs, the low paying jobs, where low skills are sufficient to perform these jobs. These people are going to be out of work. An ex Facebook executive says the world will end within 30 years as robots take at least half of all of the available jobs out there, which will result in insurrection. This and that and the other. Now, that's just an ex Facebook person. Whether he's right or wrong, who knows? But this is coming. I mean, look, camera, there. I mean, has anybody not figured out there are cameras all over the place at the intersections over there? How many times a day are you photographed? How many? Is your TV listening to you or is it not? Are your phone calls being listened to or are they not? Are your emails being looked at? Your faxes, all of that? Any of that stuff really happening? Yes. And now people have decided, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't care. What does that say about them? Well, that means that they have surrendered their individuality. They no longer are individuals. They are now becoming part of the proverbial Borg. And that's not good. I mean, individualism is valued less now than ever before. It was good to be an individual, to be called a rugged individualist. Not anymore. And as a result of this, see, the human being knows this innately. And so now people are, they're studying it. I don't know how much they know, but experts are baffled frequently, which of course suggests that they're not actually experts, but they're saying that now we have a mental illness problem coming our way because the millennials particularly cling more to their devices, their electronic devices, than they do other people. So when you withdraw from people and begin to bond with your electronic device, well, the next logical step is to bond permanently, to meld, to marry a tech device. And eventually the singularity will result. I mean, that's where they want to go with this.
I hadn't thought about the addiction, fascination arising from our attraction and attachment to our electronic devices as being an extension of transhumanism. But that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. It's the first step to the permanent melding of machines and human beings, or what would be in the future formally known as human beings.
That is very insightful, John. That is, wow.
Well, I mean,
you're going to make
that's where we're headed.
I'll be thinking about this one after the show because, well, let me tell you real quickly, a friend of mine used to be in the NSA, Vance Davis, frequent guest on the show. In his training, he was taught, and this is NSA training, he was taught that there's been a war in the cosmos between good and evil, and we know all about that, and that the evil ones wanted to extract the human souls as a supreme insult to God and get one up on God, but they couldn't crack the code to the soul, so they invented morphing humans. Now, he said morphing humans in 1995 when he first told me this. This is before the term transhumanism was invented. But this is exactly what they were taught in the NSA, that the evil ones are bringing transhumanism to us. Do you think that's the greatest threat to humanity?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, keep in mind that this devil we talked about earlier, he wants to kill God. He thinks he can. He will do it. Look, he's got nothing to do all day except what he does, just like anybody else that's got a job. This is a fallen angel. Because God is God, he had to create everything. He had to create the good, the beautiful, the bad, and the ugly. Otherwise, there a balance for everything, and he created it all. Oh, so you know about the mind of God? No, but I get a glimpse of it every once in a while. Amen. Certainly I don't know the mind of God. Yeah. Nobody does except God.
But we do get a glimpse. I like the way you put it. John, we're almost out of time, and I want to have you talk about your show, Caravan to Midnight, because I was there at the birth of this. When you left Coast and started Caravan, I think it was a great move in radio. It gave people much more diversity, certainly less censorship. So tell people how they can follow your good work and how they can get a subscription to Caravan.
I'll try and be brief. You know how I tend to go on.
We got less than a minute.
Okay, well, I'll move it then. We have over 780 programs in archive right now. This is a $60 per year subscription. I don't even like to call it a subscription. It's a membership. We actually are truly a family. We help each other. We help veterans. We help good causes. People donate. We're a very, very tight crew of a lot of people. Now, everybody wants to know, how many members do you have? It's in the tens of thousands. That's a conservative statement. It has become a worldwide thing, and it's very easy. Just go to caravantomidnight.com. If you want to sample some of our programs, you can go over to our YouTube channel. Just John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. Just put in the search engine. It'll come right up. We post every ARC Midnight show on there. And, for example, we spoke with John Clausen on ARC Midnight. And by the time it was all over with, he wrote a book about his father, Wallace, who was in a car crash. He was in a coma for 2 days, had a massive gash on his face. They thought he was going to die. And when he came out of that coma, he became a mathematical savant. And he met Einstein, Oppenheimer. He met all of them. He was key to the nuclear program. And we learn the reason we went to World War II, the reason FDR arranged that war, and he did, was to get that bomb. And then we speak with Carter Heydrich, who says, yeah, and the uranium-234 was carried by U-boat, or the uranium-235 was carried by U-boat-234 to Portsmouth, and we built our bomb, and we did it. That's what we do at Caravan to Midnight. We talk with James O'Keefe. Just join us. You'll be glad you do. It'll be the best money you ever spent.
We will. CaravanToMidnight.com is the website to go to sign up. Great radio show. John, you're a legend, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Right back at you, Dave. God bless you.
Okay, back after the break with Darren Dammey.